All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Bobby Fenton, mini camp week edition of the show, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, where, as always, they've got the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles, all of them that they have on the lot. That is unlimited years, unlimited miles, 10-year roadside assistance. Of course, you get the one-year complimentary service. Bring in for an oil change or anything else you need. You can check all of the inventory out at BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E. Or go see Sean Sullivan, the new GM, in person, fellow Jesuit graduate, just like me. And if you mention Joe Bucks Fan, mention Bobby Fenton, mention the Free Stretch, whatever, you get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing, serving Tampa for 58 years now, longer than most of us have been in this town. And they're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Or, like I said, go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. Thanks to them. Trying something fun this week here on the Free Stretch. You know, I always just sit there and talk to myself. I'm a little technologically, I guess the word I would say is inhibited. And I don't have, there's probably a way to do it, but I don't have a phone set up where I can have callers like I used to on my radio show or guests or things like that. But we can always sit across from somebody. So as the first ever guest here on the Free Stretch, I'd like to welcome someone you know as the host of the Toddcast on JoeBucksFan.com. I know him as my mentor and longtime friend, a guy who's done a ton for me. It's Todd Wright, ladies and gentlemen. Todd, what's going on?
And it does connect. There is synergy with your sponsor, as I am a proud Ford owner.
Exactly.
I am a proud Ford owner. As a woman, and I've reached this point in my life as a lifelong bachelor, it has taught me so much. I still don't know a damn thing about women, but it's taught me a lot about life. And as a woman famously said to me as we were going from Fleming's to the next restaurant, because she had Ubered in, she gets in my 2014 Ford Focus, okay, which was purchased solely for this reason. I want people to look at the car and forget about the car. That's it. It's not for them. It's for me. Four-door black sedan. That's it. Had no issues. She said, quote, "Is this your only car?" To which I responded, "Why would I need more?"
Yeah.
So anyway, I am a Ford owner, so I'm backing your sponsor. And it is good to talk to you. I guess what we need to do is I do have the extra room. You are in my home.
Yeah, first time.
You are in my home. Very rare are men in my home. I'll just leave it like that. But I trust Bob to be in my home. In a previous residence with the famous Derek Sharp, we had an extra room that became a radio studio. Now, we didn't put a lot of money into it. ESPN did.
Was that an apartment?
Yes, okay. It was a three-bedroom apartment south of Gandy in the Camden family. And it was basically a full-fledged radio studio. So, if we do more of this, maybe I should take my extra bedroom here at the condo, and we do it that way. But it seems like everything is fine. I have my podcast equipment. You have your podcast equipment, and we're good to go.
And I've done this show on this phone many times. I bought a microphone recently, but going back to Bill Curry Ford, like my Ford Explorer, I've done it in my car. Because, you know, I got kids, and I can't be doing the thing in the house at 9 o'clock when they're in bed. I make too much noise, so I go outside.
It was actually my idea when I said, I didn't know you never had anyone on your podcast. I've never had anyone on my podcast, although I'm playing golf with Ira Kaufman this weekend in a charity golf tournament. And I've never played golf with Ira. I just know Ira has killed botanical wildlife playing golf in the area.
Yeah.
So we're hoping he doesn't do it at this event at Fox Hollow. I even said to Joe Bucks Fan, I think there's something here post-round, but I don't know how we would do it because Ira has a very popular podcast. I have a podcast that, it's there. It's more for me and my own entertainment than anything else. But perhaps I have Ira on mine as I am on yours, and we're going in a circle. Yeah. And it was my original idea. We would drive around like James Corden in a musical act.
We were going to do that.
But then I was sort of, we were both a little short on time today, and I worried, what if Bob and I are really getting into a topic, and we hit something?
Yeah.
And people are then like, well, this isn't a smart idea, because the minute Corden does that, that carpool karaoke segment is done.
Yeah.
As popular as it is. So we're doing it on my couch, on my white stone dice coffee table accents, And where do we start?
Well, I wanted to start, you know, it's minicamp this week, and I'm on Twitter a lot. I'm probably on Twitter too much, because it's literally any free moment I get, I bury my face into the phone. It's kind of a habit I need to break. But anyway.
And you have children.
Yeah, I got two
and
kids.
And I don't do that.
No, I mean.
I disconnect.
I think that's the problem, though, is like I'm always looking to just get a quick release, you know, when you're in the middle of watching kids all day.
Right.
My kid says, oh, I got to go potty. Boom, that's 2 minutes. I'm vegging out on the couch, going on to Twitter.
And you go to Twitter.
That's what I do, yeah. Too much. Way too much.
See, I'm worried. Let's start right there. I stopped tweeting when I left full-time radio.
Yeah.
It's still, the account is still there. I thought about deleting it.
Yeah, I follow you,
But I've locked it. No one else can follow me unless I say okay.
Right.
I probably look at who's trying to follow me once every 3 months.
Okay.
That's it. I was told by someone in the social media business a year ago, Twitter's not adding anyone. As Mark Cuban would say about Uber, it's not a growth company.
Yeah.
So I didn't really feel the need to put anything on there. Am I missing something?
No.
I've become more Facebook, Instagram, and just read certain websites and stay off Twitter.
Yeah. That's a good plan. No, I mean, I wish that's something I need to work on because I'm not a big Facebook guy, but even in the past that too, it's just... I'll look up at the end of the day and I'll realize I've just been looking at my phone just for... I mean, I don't have that app that tells you how long, but hours, you know?
Oh, there's an app for that?
Oh, there's an app that'll
tell
you how long. That
tells you how long you've been looking at your phone?
And I don't even want to download
that.
No,
that's very dangerous.
Yeah, so all it does is a lot of times just stress me out, you know? Whether it's sports or whether it's political stuff, which I try not to get too much into, but I mean...
Right.
Life is so much better when you don't do it. You're in the right spot. You don't need to change anything.
Yeah, which could be said about a lot of things. Yeah. But I'm just wondering, you're saying I'm not really missing anything.
No.
By not tweeting or being on Twitter basically the last 6 years.
Here's what I like about it. Especially like if you're alone, you're watching a game on TV. It's kind of like watching a game with people and everybody's chiming in. I like that part.
I understand that.
I like that part. Like during a big sporting event, I like to be on it, you know. Or during a Bucks game, I like to be on it, hearing what all the other Bucks people have
to say. Were you a fan of message boards before that?
Not a big message board guy, no.
I never was.
No, that's not the same.
Just because too many people are morons.
Yeah, like Twitter.
And I know I don't know them, and it's harmless to me, but I don't want to deal with them. I don't want to hear what they have to say.
No. Message boards are, I don't know why the dynamic is different.
And anyone offended by that? Yeah, I'm talking about you. If you're not offended by that and you agree with it, I'm not talking about you. That's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. And something about message boards, and I am a member of one, which I, you know, is a private, like, friends thing more than it is an actual public board. But with Twitter, you know, like, this week's a perfect example. So talking about Gerald McCoy, like, just being on Twitter all week long, I see people complaining about Gerald McCoy. I see all the just completely wrong-headed takes about, oh, Gerald McCoy... He's making $13 million. He's under contract. He should be there. This kind of veiled, it's a thinly veiled attitude. Like, he's a pampered athlete not showing up for something he's getting paid for because he's not happy. When, of course, we know the reality is, you know, the Buccaneers have made clear to him he doesn't need to be there right now. They don't want him there right now until whatever resolution comes up and things like that. So that's just my point. Just reading stuff like that about how uninformed.
At least Buccaneer management is communicating that to McCoy as contentious. As it is, where we have learned, no matter, and I think we're dealing with two assholes here, but the general manager of the Cardinals not bothering to even talk to his quarterback before or after they replace his quarterback makes that organization look very bad.
Yeah, that makes them look very, very bad, and the Bucs don't look great either right now because of how they've handled the McCoy thing, but
nevertheless, at least they're better than the Cardinals. Arizona
Definitely.
And their management, which is ironic because maybe that's part of why Arians isn't there anymore.
Yeah, and it might be. And I'm hoping that, you know, if that's true, then we're, you know, moving up in the world by taking on someone who, you know, has
a little bit better handle. All right, I'm sorry to take this in another direction.
No, I need direction. That's fun.
I respect your passion and opinions on the Buccaneers. I call you, Bob, you're one of the 51%.
Yeah.
They're 51%. Of people who claim to be Buck fans and have opinions on the Bucks, who I will hear out. Because enough of what they have to say to me is worthwhile. There's 49% that's just horseshit. And I don't want to hear from them. I think they're delusional. They're the ones who pick the team to finish 8-8 every year, which the team actually hasn't finished 8-8 in 20 years.
I remember it.
You're the equivalent of going to the same restaurant 19 times, getting a bad meal, and going back the next time and thinking it'll be a good meal. So you're part of the 51%. Is Arians doing this for the right reasons? Here's my theory. Arians had some health scares. Harry Arians is older. I remind everyone, he is 6 months younger than Bill Belichick, who everyone wonders, when is Bill going to retire? Bruce is starting over with the Bucks. He goes into retirement. I think he expected to make a lot of money in commentary. He wasn't good. You barely knew he was there on the Fox broadcast he did with, what, Gumbel and Green?
I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
That's how remarkable
he was. Barely there. He wasn't very good. He didn't offend anybody. People didn't pick on him like they picked on Jason Witten. But he wasn't very good. And the money wasn't coming in. So the money wasn't coming in. He wasn't busy. This wasn't going to get any better. And I think he thought, wow. This isn't what I signed up for, why I stepped away. Maybe I want to get back in the game.
Do a few more years while I can,
So he can get back in the game and follow along here. So there's his reasons to get back in. Then he looks at Todd Bowles. And he thinks, boy, Todd Bowles really got a raw deal with the Jets. I can get Todd Bowles going again. And for any of you 49% who don't think the plan is to have Todd Bowles be the next head coach of the Buccaneers, that's why you're the 49%. So he gives Bowles a job.
Yeah.
He gives Byron Leftwich a job, who had just become an offensive coordinator in Arizona, and Bruce believes in former quarterback Byron Leftwich. He worked with Jameis a little. It's overstated how much and how well they know each other.
Yeah.
But Jameis needs saving at this point because you don't know what his future is. And Jason Light was dead GM walking. Now, as I hear it from our sources that we work with at JoeBucksFan.com, Light did not have final say on any draft pick. The kicker pick was an Arians pick. The Auburn kid with the 3 knee surgeries was an Arians pick. Light had input, just like Bowles had input, just like Boignol had input on the kicker. But so he knows, though, he can save Jason Light's job. Jason said it is, I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah.
Jason now works for Arians. There's something to be said. You're a father. When you can be fatherly to people who need you to be nurturing and not getting the band back together quite, but like Todd Bowles needed another chance. Byron Leftwich just got started and then got dumped in Arizona. Jameis Winston's at a crossroads in his young career at 25 years old. Jason Light has been pathetic as a general manager and would never be hired as a GM again. And Bruce Arians was bored. Bob, is Bruce doing this for the right reasons? Is he here to win, or was he just here to do all that?
I don't think they're mutually exclusive, but yeah, I mean, I think, like you just said, not that you don't want to win, but you can kind of be the guy that ties it all together, you know, if you've got whatever's in his head, 3 years or 4 years of coaching, which, you know, could be that or could be more or less, but yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I wouldn't, if that ended up being true, what you just said was all true, that wouldn't necessarily bother me as a Bucs fan.
It doesn't.
No, I mean, okay. You know, as long as, again, I mean, it's not like he's not taking it seriously. It's not like he's not going to try to win, but if he's out there thinking what you just said about, oh, hey, you know, Todd Bowles is a hell of a football coach, and he does think he's a hell of a football coach. He's not just trying to be nice to him.
Right.
Byron Leftwich, same thing. These are guys I can build a team with. Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with that as a Bucs fan.
Okay.
If it's now, what I have gotten the vibe for since Arians got hired is, and again, this is all media stuff, but a lot of platitudes, a lot of, oh, yeah, you know, if you're not buying in, you're not going to be here, blah, 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 and, you know, ping pong tables and all that crap and stuff like that, which I don't care about any of that, but he does kind of have, like, the, I don't want to say detached, but, yeah, more of the figurehead feel than I thought he'd have when they announced the hiring so far, and that worries me a little bit.
More of an ambassador.
Yeah, like an, like an emeritus or something like
that.
Yeah, that's the vibe I've got in the past, like, 3 months. Now, if he's making draft picks like that, it's good. I mean, in a way, it's almost
like... Well, anything's better than Jason making
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Anything.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm a problem.
Also, you know, I'm a Jimmy Johnson apologist. And Jimmy won at Miami and won with Dallas. And then he went to the Dolphins. And guys who were with him at UM and at Dallas still say to this day, the Jimmy and with the Dolphins was a different Jimmy.
Right.
So are the Bucs getting the Arians?
Yeah, that's the worry.
Prior to him retiring and going into broadcasting that wasn't paying the bills or keeping him occupied, or are they getting some new Bruce Arians who just needed something to do?
No, that's it feels like that's the part I'm worried about. Okay. It feels like when they hired him, I thought, hell yeah, he's going to have, he was close with Arizona. He's going to build it back up here. His age thing didn't, I knew how old he was when we hired him, obviously, but his age thing didn't bother me that much. But since then, yeah, it doesn't feel like he's quite been as, I'm not there. Right. This is all just you and me talking. I don't want to make it, I'm not there at practice. I'm not in the locker room and stuff like that. But I'd like to see more decisive action one way or the other, like on things like the McCoy thing. And I know they're trying to wait for the right time, and there's been reports that there still might be interest with other teams, the Browns or whoever. And if they can figure that out, that's great.
What is the right – you tell me. What's the right time they're waiting for?
Oh, whenever you can get someone to make a deal. I mean, maybe the Browns are interested in their wait. I don't know. I mean, the right time could be – I mean, it's got to be before the preseason,
if
right?
If you can't get – look. And let's go back to Josh Rosen a little bit. It's funny how this all connects to Arizona. I actually enjoy watching the draft now that they've taken it out of New York.
Yeah.
To me, it's because I had stopped watching, even when they moved it to first round Thursday night and rounds two. I had stopped watching. Just tell me what the teams get
just
after
give me a sheet
the fact
of paper, yeah.
And what the trades are. Now, it seems like more of an event. And Nashville was very visual.
That was unreal.
I loved when they went to Jerry World. They got to go to Vegas in a couple years.
Yeah,
with the NFL going to Vegas, you imagine the entire Las Vegas Strip.
It would be filled.
Dialed in. Picture Nashville times five is what the Strip would look like. But one of the most overhyped was that Josh Rosen was going to be traded day one. No, I know he was picked 10th by the Cardinals, but if you had followed this along the way and knew they were going to take Kyler Murray number one, which most of us did, you knew they couldn't get that value for him. Let's put it this way. The Dolphins, maybe the worst organization in the NFL, and if not, they're in the argument with two or three or four more.
Maybe us.
The Dolphins traded down in the second round, got another pick before they traded that pick to get Josh Rosen. So that's what Josh Rosen's value was. Here's my point. If Arizona could barely get that for Josh Rosen, and the Bucs couldn't move Gerald McCoy, McCoy has no value. This isn't the equivalent of a few years ago when, what team acquired Sam Minnesota, right? Lost Bridgewater?
Oh, yeah. When they lost Bridgewater.
And the Eagles went ahead and just be like, well, we can get a number one pick right now.
Yeah.
Move Bradford, and we're going to start Carson Wentz. Right. Let's go.
We don't even need Bradford anymore.
DT is not that position. So, go ahead. Pick the top defensive interior lineman in the league right now, Bobby Fenton. Well, Who is it?
I mean, I have to think about it, but he's... Gerald McCoy's in the top five of those people right now.
Yeah, I don't know that he is. I don't think.
I mean, numbers wise,
I don't think he's overrated. Well, he isn't Sal. Let's just say, okay. So let's pick.
That's my point, though. Pick somebody. You know,
on a contending team, Okay, Aaron Donald goes down the minute this podcast posts.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald done, out for the year. The Rams aren't going to give up much value to the Bucs for Gerald McCoy. It's not that way. It's not that position.
Well, no, you're right about that for sure, the position. But
so,
it's still,
so what are they waiting for?
The thing is, I mean, it's all about the salary, because as a player, I think he's caught way more flack than he deserves. And even up to last year, he's been performing at a high level. You know, does he remind us of Warren Sapp? No. And that's probably part of the problem is everybody...
That bad thing on the field, good thing off the field.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Right.
But I mean, that's the thing, like... He's a good player, and the Bucs are weaker if he's not here. Now, he might not be worth $13 million because of their salary cap. If they didn't have salary cap issues like they did, I don't think they'd be thinking twice about having him back. They're at $13 million if all the other salary issues weren't, you know, and then they're right up against it with whatever it is.
If they had the Colts or the Jets situation.
Right, exactly, because he's worth $13 million. It's all relative to your salary cap situation. It's not that he's not worth $13 million. He's not worth $13 million for the Bucs because they barely have enough money to pay their draft picks.
Sure,
they just got.
Okay.
So that's what I think the difference is, and I think other teams know that. So they don't want to trade for him when they know the Bucks may have to release him anyway.
Yeah.
And that's the whole crux of the issue. Right. It's not about Gerald McCoy not being worth a damn. He's not worth it right now to trade for because of all those reasons I just mentioned. And so there might have been a way, if the Bucks had been more proactive on this months ago or over a year ago, that he could be playing here at a smaller size. He's obviously not going to be here now for a penny less than $13 million. And I don't see why he'd be here at any point at all now after all that's happened. I don't know how it ends. Maybe they're able to get like a sixth or seventh rounder for him. But again, a team
that
does that.
And it'll be conditional.
Yeah, and a team that does that still has to pay him the full contract.
Right,
so.
And so at that point, was it really worth it?
No.
To get a conditional sixth or seventh to go through all of this?
No, yeah.
Because it doesn't look good for anybody.
No. No, it's a big problem. And so that's one of the things that, you know, when I look at this coming team, this team coming up this year, 2019, you know, and the
Jazz. Yeah, what do you see?
I don't see much.
No.
I've been worried.
That's why you're in the 51%.
I've been talking about on the show, like, we're relying on the same people to do better. That's what we're relying on. Because
right.
We don't have a lot of new people. Everybody gets a shiny new draft pick. You always think, oh, we had Devin White. That's great, but all the other teams also got draft picks, and maybe ours will be better than theirs, I don't know. But he's one guy. Our offensive line was a big problem. We re-upped with two of those guys and didn't add anybody new. The right guard will eventually be new, whoever that is.
Right, because they don't have one.
Yeah. You know,
isn't it amazing that the Bucks' offensive line is bad, and this was as of roughly a month ago. They were the only offensive line in the NFL with three guys making eight figures.
Yeah. Yeah, huge money in the offensive line.
Now, Light's on the hook for that cent. You know, as much as you prop up Light with the Ali Marpet pick, he failed with the signing of the center.
Yeah.
Jensen?
Yeah, Ryan Jensen. He's been decent, but not, you know, nothing crazy. Not for the money he signed for.
No.
You know, and you've got him. You've got, again, Donovan Smith, who, again, I'm not saying we shouldn't. I did a whole show about how they did the right thing, but again.
You and Stroud feel that way. Stroud made the point when I was doing TV with Stroud around this time, said, if Donovan Smith goes into the free agent market, he's the top tackle out there. I saw a couple better tackles in the market. I'm not saying Donovan wouldn't have gotten paid, but
yeah.
That's just the business.
Right.
Is that he gets paid. With your cap situation, was it worth giving him that money where you have so little to spend just to keep him around and keep stability? Because he does play every play.
Play every once
he
got here.
He plays every play.
Start every once he got
here. That is a very nice thing to have at your left tackle position.
Yeah.
But was it worth it financially based on your cap situation? And I'd say no.
What would have been the alternative, though? I mean, you could draft a guy.
Yeah, you do.
You know, whoever that high pick would have been instead of Devin White would have been a left tackle. And yeah, I mean, there's no way to know how the future is going to look. But as far as this year's team, yeah, I mean, there's not anybody different. You're hoping people that have been here will be better. In fact, they've lost, you know, several people.
Well, when they
like Humphreys and things like that.
Yeah, by keeping Light, which I don't think they wanted to do, and then I think they had a plan and it fell apart, and they didn't have a plan B. And I think then Arian said, "Well, I can work with Jason."
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Problem solved.
Make us look better.
All right. So when they dumped Cutter and staff, and they dumped Mike Smith before that, when they dumped them all, to me it was the Glazers saying, "Oh, it was the coach's fault." So clearly. We have the team to win, but just we had the wrong coaches. Well,
yeah.
You hired those coaches, so they failed you. I don't think it was all just the coaches.
No,
fault.
Man.
This is a flawed football team.
I wasn't a huge Dirk Cutter. Like I was fine when they fired him. I mean, it didn't bother me.
Right.
But
I'm
not going
to say
he
wanted to be the head coach.
Yeah,
right?
He's not. I mean, it was kind of like when Raheem Morris, remember, he was getting a
yeah.
haircut and they called him in because they weren't playing. Hey, you know what?
That bother you during a haircut.
I know we talked to you about being the defensive coordinator like 20 minutes ago, but you know what? Screw it. You want to be the head coach? Oh, yeah, sure. You know, that's kind of maybe how it went down.
It's just how these owners do business.
Yeah, and
they are bad owners. I have nothing personally against them other than they're not visible. And I know what one of the owners and his wife live here.
Yeah.
And they do a lot in the community with the Glazers Children's Museum and the Glazer Foundation and the JCC, which used to be the Armory.
Right,
where people
the Armory,
like
yeah.
You and I would watch wrestling.
Exactly.
And all those things. But at some point, be more visible when things are going bad. You created this mess. Show up when you fire somebody. Don't prop Jason Light out there to do your dirty work. I don't like that. And just because you're bad owners doesn't mean you're cheap. I'm not accusing them of being cheap
they
at
cheap.
All.
Do
they know the value of a dollar? Sure. Do I? Yeah.
Yeah.
Granted, my dollar is 10,000 of theirs,
right,
dollar, the other way around. But I don't think they're good NFL owners relative to other owners like the Dolphins owners, the Arizona Cardinals owners, and you know, I think that's part of having a winning organization, and the Bucs don't have that.
I mean, they're the only constant through all of this that's going back to, you know, since the old man passed away and the Bucs won the Super Bowl in a few years after that, their last playoff appearance, 2007, they've had a couple of, you know, were they 10-6 a couple times or 9-7? But ever since then, through what is it, five coaches now?
Yeah.
All the different things, two sets of uniforms. That's another thing about the Glazers. If you can green light what they wore on the field every Sunday, that alone, before knowing anything else about you, tells me you have decision-making issues, that someone in charge of everything allows that to go on week after week, year after year.
Just the uniform?
Just the uniform. Yeah, before we get to anything football-related.
You were the one who, let me give Bob credit here. Bob was the first one I ever, and you often would say this about a college football game. You would say, this is a good uniform game.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of an example.
I remember a couple years ago, Cowboys-Steelers at Heinz Field.
That's
gorgeous.
Oh, it's a great
uniform. I couldn't take my... Right. You're watching at home. I don't even care about the game.
That's not a college game,
no.
But it's so traditional.
I just tossed the remote behind me. I don't need this for 3 hours.
Right.
I just beautiful to look at.
That's a good uniform game. Yeah. See, I wouldn't say... And I know your allegiance is with the Gators. Florida State isn't a good uniform game, even when they wear the traditional uniform.
Yeah, I said it can't be.
I don't think it. I just don't think it's a good fit. Do you think USC UCLA is a good uniform game? Because they always both wear the darks,
yes.
Which now the NBA allows,
which I hate.
Yeah,
it should be a special thing. Like
I know the NBA just suddenly stopped caring. But I think Adam Silver is the best commissioner out there.
I'm not an NBA guy.
In all the major sports, I think he's the best commissioner out there. He cares about things worth caring about, and he doesn't care about things that really don't give a damn.
Frivolities.
But what's another? The Bucs can never be in a good uniform game with these.
No.
I don't know if it's XFL. I mean, even the Alliance uniforms were better than
it
the Bucs.
It affects my enjoyment. I enjoy being a Bucs fan probably 30% less just off the top, just because. Let me put it this way. I want to do a whole thing on uniforms. None of my Bay Area teams. I'm born and raised here. Bucs, Lightning, Rays, the Gators.
Right.
None of my sports teams has ever done anything to hurt me more ever on or off the field than the day the Bucs released the uniforms they currently wear.
That says a lot.
I'm still hurt. It hurts me every day. I think about it, even for like a couple seconds. I think, man, I wish they didn't wear those. So anyway. That's just another thing where it shows you where the Glazers' heads are sometimes. And yeah, they're the only constant through all this. So I'm looking at 2019, and I'm an optimistic guy. You know, in the NFL especially, you can always be 5-11 and then 10-6 the next year. I mean, we've seen it happen. It doesn't happen by pure happenstance, but it does happen. But I can't make, like if you said, oh, hey, Bobby, support your position. Why are the Bucs going to be good this year? I couldn't really make any strong supporting claims to my argument.
Okay.
Other than I just really hope they're better. Like that's all.
That's fine. See, and that's why you're the 51%.
I can't. Well, what
you're
you say?
You're hoping.
Like Jameis Winston makes a step forward with new coaching. That's maybe one. But then again, that's still hope.
Right.
That's not pointing to something concrete.
No.
I can't point to much concrete and say they're going to be better because of X, Y, or Z. No. I can't do it.
And that's fine. See, that's fine when fans say that and they hope and you're just a fan, but rather than put yourself out there or make these outlandish predictions or say that's the difference, which is why I think we've always gotten along.
Yeah. I'm
because there's some reality in it.
People tell me I'm an optimist and I just say, hey, I'm a realist. If you watch sports long enough, you see all these things happen you never thought could happen up to and including like this past week. I mean, every week, every day it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm never going to say never. But I think I'm just being realistic, and I think that when you look at the defense, which we can talk about the offensive line all we want, and they're not improved, but even with the offensive line they had, they were able to score points for most of the season. I thought losing DeSean Jackson hurt them, even though nobody likes DeSean Jackson. You saw what happened to the offense when he was out, and it was different. It wasn't as explosive. There wasn't as much of a chance of something happening on any play. And those last few games of the year, the defense did a lot better, and the offense didn't.
You just wish, kind of like if we could take Gerald McCoy's brain and attitude and put it in a mid to late 30s football body of Warren Sapp, you've got one hell of an interior tackle.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Just like you can't take Deshaun's big play wide receiver ability and put it within the framework of the head and the leadership of Larry Fitzgerald.
Right, exactly.
Because then you have the perfect wide receiver. Yeah. You don't have that.
And had him not getting along with whoever, you know, that hurt the team. Now, I'm not saying I wish he was back because, again, all the off-field stuff made it untenable, I guess. But the point is, even if the offense was able to do what it did despite the offensive line, what on defense? Again, it's just question marks. The whole secondary is, okay, we're trying new, you know, Vernon Hargraves. I
the latest on Vernon Hargraves.
What the hell? It's the first day of an OTA. Yeah, and I already get a report.
Not a good sign.
His head, he's not ready to practice it.
Not a good sign.
Like, what is that? I just, how does this stuff happen to us?
In a prove-it year.
Yeah.
For a player who has not lived up to expectations.
Like, what could possibly...
Oh, don't say that. You know,
yeah, you're right. Yeah, because there's a lot of things.
You can't ever say, and let's take this away from the Buccaneers, where any time in your life, and you know, we all have days like this where you say, nothing, you know, nothing, this couldn't get any worse. The minute you say that, something else going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best things ever said to me, and I've had plenty of females in my life a long, long time ago, one of my first ever girlfriends, I just got a flat tire bringing this full circle with Ford and cars. And it was I wasn't driving a Ford. It's not their fault. No. But I got a flat tire. It happens, right?
Yeah, sure.
So I said to her that day, and I said, this couldn't have happened at a worse time. She looked me in the eyes and said, what's a good time to have a flat tire? I've never forgotten that. And I apply that to other things in my life. And sure, there are some mistimed things, but yeah, don't ever say things can't get worse because they will.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get a flat tire, you're driving away from home, so it's always a bad time.
Yeah.
But there are definitely probably could have been worse times.
Let's say, as we're wrapping this up, I go out because I got to be somewhere, you got to be somewhere, and my car has a flat tire. And, oh, I was headed somewhere, and now I'm going to be late.
You're home.
It's still not a good time.
It's true. So, I mean... We'll see how the rest of the offseason unfolds with the Vernon Hargraves thing. I have no idea what's going on with that, but that's our general point. We'll see. I'm right now, and I've been so optimistic so many years over and over and been let down. Maybe if I'm not optimistic this year, they'll end up going 11-5, and I'll be glad to be wrong. I don't care about being right. I only care about the Bucks.
Do the opposite.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens. So we got to do this again, man.
This was fun.
Thanks for having me over to your place. Thanks for coming on the show.
Very rarely do I have people in my home.
I'm honored. I mean, it's a great place. He's got a great place here, guys. I mean, it's really nice. And we can do it in my place, too, one day, maybe, if I can kick all the toy trucks out of the way off the floor.
Only if your mom's around. She's a nice lady.
Oh, you met my... Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I met her at the Valspar Championship.
I forgot because we were walking up the fairway.
And
there.
Your mom only knows me from what, you know, our professional...
Oh, she loves you, though, because she knows you helped me. And if you help me, then you're my mom's favorite person.
I stand by it. And also because, right, me and your mom call you Bob. That's it. That's the list.
Yeah.
It's like the list of, ready?
She doesn't really call me Bob, no.
36-year-old running backs who have gained 600 yards or 300 yards or more at the age of 36. Here's the list. Marcus Allen, John Riggins.
Yeah.
Frank Gore's trying to do it this year.
Right.
That's it. That's the list. So,
And it's true. And she'll love you as long as you're around because she knows how much you've helped me. But we will do something. Maybe get my mom involved. I don't know. Either way.
We could have her on the podcast.
Podcast.
I mean, I'd interview your mom.
Yeah, and she's good. She's been working in public service her whole life. She's done a lot of TV and radio. She knows what to do.
Now, all bets are off is if Ira Kaufman kills more botanical wildlife at this charity golf tournament, Fox Hall, on Saturday. Because I might have to lay a little low.
Yeah,
is that my phone?
That's not mine. So that's our signal. Folks, I want to thank all you guys for listening. If you want to email me, I always love hearing your emails. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is my email address. You can reach me there anytime on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. Thanks to the Joes for hosting this show on their website, the single best place on the internet for Bucks coverage, JoeBucksFan.com. Not just all season long, not just during the offseason, but maybe especially during the offseason. So check it out. Of course, thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Check him out at BillCurryFord.com or a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. That's your OTA mid-May edition of the Free Stretch. I don't have any Preakness picks for you yet. If you get onto my Twitter, you'll probably get some by Friday, and you get a chance that absolutely nothing will help you that I say, but I'll put them up there either way. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. Enjoy the Preakness, the PGA Championship, everything else going on. I'll be back next week. That is the Free Stretch. I'm Bobby Fenton, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks!